Welcome to Bible Line, a ministry of Calvary Community Church. Our podcast is dedicated to the clear teaching of God's Word. We aim to help people find Jesus Christ and train believers through the study of the Bible. We would love to feature your questions on the show. You can email us at questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. If you'd like to support the show, you can go to calvaryoftampa.org/donate. Catch new episodes every Thursday. We pray today's episode is a blessing to you.
The question I want to answer today that was asked is, what about the people that are in a remote country or a faraway place who don't have any way of the gospel getting to them? What about those individuals? You know, if they die and they end up going to hell, isn't that on God because he put them there? And that's not fair? It's a great question. It's one of the very first questions I had as I was studying the scripture when I was coming to Bible college. And the answer is found in scripture. We have to work from two points. The first point is, God is a righteous judge. So I do not think that God will do something to an individual that they did not deserve. He has shown mercy and he has shown grace in his son, Jesus Christ. And focus on that with me. This is how good the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is for you and me. It is the ultimate life saver. It is the hoop that we grab onto when we're drowning. That's all that we have, is Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at a couple of passages here, and we have to understand that God is a righteous judge. And number two, God has a will that all men will be saved. And we'll look at some of those scriptures. But let's read Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18 through 25. Romans 1:18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." So this is all the sin of mankind. God's wrath is going to be placed on that. "These men," as it says in the rest of the verse, "hold the truth in unrighteousness." They have the truth and they hold it in unrighteousness. 19. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them." The very fact that we are the kind of individuals that we are, the way our bodies function, the way the world functions, the way the universe functions according to our knowledge, is a sign of a creator, is a sign of a design that had to come from a master designer. This is said here as it is being manifest or made known in them, "for God hath showed it unto them." I believe this is through Jesus Christ, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. Verse 20, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead." And here's the very important part of this verse that helps answer this question, "so that they are without excuse." They being man. Verse 21, "because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." We've talked about this in our study of 1 Corinthians. In the eyes of man, preaching is foolishness. The teaching of the cross is foolishness. That is how God has chosen to confound the wise, to stop the mouths of the ones who doubt. Verse 23, "and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man." This is a direct reference to idolatry. When you study what happened in young Israel when Moses went up to Mount Sinai and he was late coming back, Israel absolutely fell into wicked idolatry. They took all of their gold, they melted it into a calf, they made an image. Do you see, look what it says here in that verse, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. They said this calf, literally they called this calf Jehovah. They said, this is what has brought us out of Israel, or out of Egypt. And then they proceeded to do lewd acts outside of that. I mean, orgies happening. Can you imagine? Just, it kind of blows my mind. But looking at today, it's kind of commonplace. People have taken the truth that God has established and they've turned it into something that is of man. Look what it says in the rest of this verse. And to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Look at Greek mythology. These animals, these half-human, half-animals, power gods with these different abilities, and it's all a heresy. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Because of man's unholiness and unrighteousness, God in his mercy has let them choose. He's let them choose, and this is the product. Look at verse 25. Who, that's man, changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. That phrase there, amen, means it is good. And the chapter continues. But we've got to understand, every single person, if you go back to verse 20, as it says here, will not have an excuse. Now, we can do one of two things with that. We can believe it for what it says, that God who shall not God judge righteously, as Abraham said, when God was going to destroy Sodom. And you look at it and say, is there going to be somebody that's going to stand there and say, you missed me? You missed me over here in this remote place. I don't think so. And the reason why is because of the will that God has expressly here in his word. Let's look in 1 Timothy chapter 2. You can let Romans go because we're not going to come back to that until the last point here. 1 Timothy, and I want you to look in chapter 2 in verse 4. Here's what it says, page 275 in the Scofield Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 2 in verses 4 and 5. Who, and that's talking about God, as we see here from verse 3, the end of verse 3, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. It is God's desire that all men would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men. If you need a mediator or a go-between, there was an issue there that needed to be resolved, sin. This is why that word reconciliation is so important, removing that which was in the way. When Paul says we are a minister of reconciliation, we are the ones who are supposed to walk people to the knowledge that Jesus is the mediator between you and God. Y'all have a problem. It's your sin. Jesus took that sin for you and paid for it. If you believe on him, he has removed that which was in the way. Look at the rest of this verse. The man, Christ Jesus, Jesus was fully God and fully man. He was God's own son. The eternal father, he's always been a father. The son, Jesus, was not created into existence when he was incarnated. He's always been. He was made flesh and dwelt among us when he was born of the Virgin Mary, but he just didn't come into existence that day. Nor was he an average man like you and I. And when I say average, I mean a sinner who attained godhood so that when God said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, that wasn't Jesus, a sinner, becoming the Son of God. He always was. Even as a small child, he had no sin, none. You and I don't understand that. It's because we're sinners. We know what babies do. They're always kind and polite. They always tell you exactly what they want. No. Look at what it says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. You can let 1 Timothy go. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Page 1319 in the Scofield Bible. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. This is something that he demonstrates. He is patient. I just want to think again. We talked about what Marjorie's sister had just experienced, in that she had that brain hemorrhage in 2012. And God gave her, she was in a coma for 6 weeks. She came out of it. She was able to live her life again. And from that moment all the way until she passed recently, very suddenly, God was patient with her. And we were just talking in the hallway, me and Marjorie and Kyla. And Marjorie was saying, I just kept talking to her about it. I just kept planting the seed. God desires for people to be saved. He is not an angry, vengeful, maniacal God that's waiting to just destroy people. He's the opposite. He is a just God, and he will discipline sin accordingly. But he has offered a way out in his Son, Jesus Christ. As it says in this verse here, he is long-suffering to usward, specifically not willing that any should perish, but that what? All should come to repentance. Now, some universalists take this out of context and say, well, you know, that's everyone's going to be saved. It doesn't matter. All religions lead back to God. This is a very popular idea, and it's a heresy. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by what? Me. And who said that? Jesus Christ. So we can't say that 24 different world religions lead to God. No. One truth leads to God. I don't even call myself a religious person, because that word means man binding himself back to God. And I am believing fully. A one-time thing, I put my trust in Jesus Christ. He is my hope. Isn't that a good thing? That's assurance. Read the last part of that verse again. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We don't have time, but you go over to Revelation chapter 19, at the great white throne judgment. There will be people that will be judged according to their works because they did not believe on the Lord. And God, the righteous judge, is going to send people to an eternity separated from him, remembered no more, in hell. But that's not his desire. It's not what he wants to do. He has offered a way out. This is why what some people would say is a silly gimmick and these cards can change a person's life. Someone can get a hold of this message and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation and never darken the door of a church. And one day when they suddenly pass away, they are absent from their body and present with the Lord, and they will be thankful for someone doing something like this. It's why we should be soul winners. It's why we should use clear terminology, easily understood. Look in John chapter 6. John chapter 6, in verses 38 through 40. Page 1123 in the Scofield Bible. John 6, 38 through 40 says this, "For I came," this is Jesus speaking, "I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." We're focusing on the will here. "And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me." Who sent Jesus? The Father. He had a specific will, "that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son," and what? "Believeth." Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 says, "Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord is saved." That does not mean the action of calling on the Lord saves an individual. Paul is talking there to the Jews who had a zeal for God. They had a fervent desire. They had a, that word zeal literally means a heat, a desire. But it wasn't according to knowledge. How was that evident? They crucified Jesus, who was supposed to bring in the kingdom, who was the promised Messiah. And Paul in that chapter is saying, believe on the Lord and then talk about him so that other Jews can believe and so the world can see what Jesus means. It's not talking about the physical calling or it's not the prayer that saves an individual. Praying is a way we can talk to the Lord, but God's not going to say, well, you prayed. It is those who, you should mark verse 40, believeth on him, may have a certain kind of life, everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, God in his foreknowledge, I was talking to my sister-in-law about this earlier this week. I mentioned on Sunday morning about Romans 8, about whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. Unfortunately, that's been taught, like I said, it's been twisted like a pretzel. You could serve it at Auntie Anne's at Citrus Park Mall. It does not mean that God chose against an individual's will to put them into heaven, and then against another individual's will, those go to hell. He said, I saw who would believe, and I have decided all those who made the choice to believe, they're going to go to heaven. They're conformed to the image of my son, as Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit will beareth witness out of them that they are mine. That's good for a simple person like me. It has nothing to do with, was I really chosen? Listen, I was reading a book today, and the man said very plainly, how can you know that you're saved? And he listed five things. The first thing is you have to repent of your sin. Never explained it, just said you had to do that. For a person who's really seeking, that causes anxiety. What in the world does that mean? Commonly, it means stop sinning. Who can do that? No one. It's who we are. We're sinners. The second thing was trust on the Lord Jesus Christ without explanation. The third thing was the Spirit is going to express himself to you. And literally, the next sentence was, no one can define this to you. You have to experience it. So not only do you have to turn from sin, do you have to trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to have an undefinable experiential encounter with God. Who can say that your experience was valid? Where's the assurance in that message? So we've got those three things. The next thing was you'll have a changed attitude about the lost. And the last thing was you'll have fruit. That's a horrible message. If somebody answered that question, can I know? I could not, if that was the answer, I could not say, yes, you can on the back. You know what I would put on the back of this? Good luck. You know what? I wouldn't even print this out if my salvation depended on myself because I would be stricken with worry that I'm not assured. Look what this verse says, verse 40. Believeth on him may have everlasting life. The book is shut. It's closed. The case is done. So this is what God has done for the entire world. This is why the answer to that question, what will God do about the ones who never heard? I don't think there will be an individual that will be able to say, I never knew. I choose to believe that because God says they will be without excuse. It would be a violation of his scripture, I think, if someone stood before him and said, you never told me. That would not make him a righteous judge. Now that, my first reaction when I heard the answer to that question was, that's serious. How will people hear? And I've heard other people respond to this question by saying, well, that's not fair. Listen, if we're depending on God to reach people in a foreign country somewhere, and we're so focused on that, and we're so focused on how unfair that is, if you think that makes you holy and righteous because you care, but you haven't gone and talked to your neighbor who's 10 feet away, there's a problem. It's a serious problem. And I find this a lot. People are so ready to be critical of another person's attempt, they have zero attempt of trying to reach somebody. Now, my point there is not to convict you. And I told Nicole, I said, when I answer your question, I'm not talking about you when I say that. But I've seen people sin in judgment over God, Christians that know the truth, but they're not willing to do something with what they've been given. Listen, when Jesus came in on the donkey, if the crowd was silent, it said the rocks would have cried out. We're going to look at these last two passages, and then we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. If we can have that red microphone ready, Mr. Louis Hernandez, if you can go back there and grab that microphone. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 is the heart of man, the nature of man. I've mentioned Romans 3 often, but I always say we don't have time. Well, we have time. That might be the scariest thing you hear a pastor say. We got time. And you say, what? Page 1194, Romans 3, look in verses 10, 11, and 12. Verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. This is why when that author who I read today said that you can repent from your sin, he's lying. That's a lie. You can't turn from your sin. In the eyes of God, a lost person is, what's it say? None righteous, no, not one. Verse 11, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. But Jesse, I see good people all the time. They're not good in the eyes of God. They're not meeting the standard, which is perfection. That word sin literally means to miss the mark. There's a mark, you're supposed to hit it, you miss it. I was watching the other day Michael Phelps' qualifying run when he was 15 years old. It just came up on my YouTube recommended, which is a weird place. A lot of times YouTube recommended is like just an odd place. They show you videos from like 10 or 12 years ago, and you're like, no context. But this was a 30-second video of Michael Phelps finishing. I think he finished third to advance to go to the represent the United States in the Olympic Games. The person that he beat missed it by that much. Have you seen the wingspan of these people? It's odd. It's not natural. They're huge individuals. And when they do that stroke, it's scary. Because their eyes are sealed with the goggles and their mouths are all like, it's like a giant bird coming after you. All of that arm span, Michael Phelps got to that ledge this much faster than the person next to him. And the difference was staying home and watching the Olympics or going to the Olympics. Okay? Think about that distance when it comes to a person going to heaven or hell. That distance becomes a mile. If we're not right, it's not judged by man's standard. God is not going to judge us according to another man. He's going to judge those lost individuals according to his perfection. And that's why what Jesus did was so important. Look at what it says in verse 12. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. You can't sell it. You get nothing for it. You can't take man's righteousness and trade it in for a speck of God's righteousness. It's not profitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now go back to Romans 1. We're going to read those verses again. What about the person in a faraway country who we can't see? What about them? Will they get the gospel? I believe the answer is yes, because as it says in Romans 1 and verse 20, they will be without excuse, and because of verses 21, 22, and 23, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Now, I don't know. It's not my job to hold God accountable to how he's going to reach those individuals. It's my job to take what God hasn't entrusted me with in 1 Thessalonians 2:4, that gospel message, and be talking about that, be living a life about that. And then I don't have to worry about how God is going to reach those individuals because I have a job to do right here. And you know what? This is how people become missionaries. I think of our missionaries who are, we just talked about Case Bohr. He was here. I love when Case is here because you listen to him, and tomorrow he will be on the radio show. Bibleline Broadcast Network, look it up on your computer, on Anchor FM, and you'll be able to see it. And he talks about how he starts these groups with these kids, And they go out and reach one girl. She started 28 different groups in a month of kids that were reached with the clear gospel. And even through COVID and the shutdowns in Bolivia, they don't even let kids leave the house. It's a communistic government. But the gospel's still being shared. We can do the same thing. Three generations in 3 weeks. That's their plan. Three generations in 3 weeks. It's a workable plan. At the end of 3 weeks, if you got two generations, that's more than zero. Perspective, right? The goal is three and three, but hey, if it's one, that's great too. Because you know what it was 3 weeks before? Zero. Nothing. So I don't think that there'll be anyone that can stand at that great white throne judgment and justifiably point a finger to God and say, you did not. This is why I also said I believe it's important that every mouth will be stopped. Because you know what happens when you're defending yourself? You're talking and blah, 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 blah. There's no excuse. And this is, to me, it makes the gospel that much more important. Just like that young man that got beat by Michael Phelps. I mean, can you imagine if it was the other way around? He could have been the next Michael Phelps. But he missed it by that much. Man, if we miss heaven by this much because we're trusting in ourselves, or because, like the Bible says in 1 Timothy 3, that people, evil will wax worse and worse, the deceivers deceiving and being deceived. They're working the deception, they're being deceived themselves. Be clear, be often with the gospel message. Instant, in season, out of season. And if you have tools like this that can help you, that's great. Use them. But this is why I think that God, in all his righteousness and all the ways that he's working that I don't understand, I don't think there'll be anyone who will be able to say, we were in this faraway country and we never heard. And I cannot explain to you how God will do that except that he's long-suffering. He's patient. He's loving. He's kind. He's the kind of God that gave his son for his wicked, vile, and lost creation. Isn't that a good thing? I think it's a good thing.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. As a thank you to our listeners, we want to give away a free Bible every month this year. To enter, send us an email with your Bible question. Our email address is questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. Be sure to subscribe to the show and check back each Thursday for new episodes. Until next time, keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon.